Now, the reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, and they are the words of Christ on prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Thank you. We are in week four of our little mini series, learning that we are all called to a purpose. And that purpose is to be there as a kind of bridge, the center ground. That's what it is to be this royal priesthood, a bridge between heaven, God, and a world that doesn't know him. And we're called to be in those frontline positions for God. But it's in those positions where God has called us to that we can make all the difference in the world for people who don't know the Lord and to extend the kingdom of God. We've realized that one of the things about that is that doesn't just happen here in a church gathering context. On the contrary, it takes place wherever we are. Literally, wherever, in any situation, in all the places that you've been to this week, in all the circumstances, with all the people you've spoken to, with all the stuff you've had to deal with, wherever you were, there you were with God. Last week, we realized that whatever we do, we're on the front lines with. So that's things that we might do around our home, the practical maintenance of life, the stuff of living. In all of those ordinary situations, we are on the front line for God with any people who see us, who don't know him. We are the witnesses in that context. We're on the front line in those situations where we volunteer to help people. Maybe when we go into homes to visit people, just to see how they are for a tea or a coffee, we're on the front line when people come to us to do the same. Or maybe when they come to do some work in the house, do some repairs. In those situations, we are on the front line for God as we witness for him in that context. And in all of those situations, in all of it, everything, we are ones that God has called to make a difference. That's real purpose. Well, today we're going to discover something else. It's not just where you are, but it's also who you are. Whoever you are, you're on the front line for God. One of the things I realized quite early on when I came into church ministry is that the church is full of people who are unskilled, ill-equipped to carry out all the tasks that they think the church needs them to do. And that is a real tragedy. And it's a real tragedy because I'm not convinced that those are the things that God has called us to do. What he's called us to do is not to fulfill tasks or designed roles. He's invited us to merely be us, to represent him in all of those situations, whoever we are. And time and time again, I've heard people say, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't come. Well, God doesn't ask all of his people to stand up in the United Nations and make declarations about his standards for him. There are people who do have those callings, those professional skills. He doesn't ask everybody to stand at the front of a church building and do some of the teaching things. He doesn't ask everybody to be in a practical situation, but he does ask all of us to be his people, right where we are. And we get so confused and we feel so overwhelmed because we look at what other people do instead of thinking about what God wants us to do. This morning's frontline talk is all about recognizing that God has called us to be on those front lines, whoever we are. And it doesn't matter, however insignificant we feel, we can still bring kingdom change for God as we recognize who God has made us to be. And that we come to those frontline positions first and foremost as his chosen people, as children of God. And suddenly, instead of being a terrifying business, this stepping out for God, doing things that I can't possibly do, suddenly it becomes liberating because God asks us just to be us. Do you know what? If you're not good with numbers, he's probably not going to ask you to deal with numbers. If you're really not good at using the words, then maybe it will be your compassion and your love that he will use. But God invites us to be who we are, whoever we are. And as we approach that, and as we approach seriously, taking seriously that purpose that he's called us to, one of the prayers that we can bring to help us to focus our minds on who our real identity is the Lord's Prayer. This familiar passage that actually begins with helping us get our identity straight. Now, it's a prayer that we've looked at in great detail. I found it transformational in the way I thought and prayed as I really studied it and opened that up to you a good few years ago now when we last looked at it. But here, as we think about applying our conversation with God, it helps us to think about how we ask him into those things that he's brought us to be engaged with. We can so easily just skip through the prayer as routine. And yet, what an amazing prayer this is to put things into perspective. And so it begins, and the first part simply establishes that our identity is first and foremost as children of God. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Who are we serving? We're not serving some unknown name that you see on the brochure of a big company organization. Oh, he's the CEO or he's the managing director. We've never spoken to him. No, we come as people working for our Father in heaven. And as he's our Father, that makes us his children. We are people who have this beautiful gift of knowing that we are loved with the God of all wisdom and understanding. He knows us backwards. He knows us so much better than we know ourselves. So when he's placed us in a place, he knows we can be his people on that frontline position. And that should be liberating and not terrifying. Do you know there are going to be times when you'll find yourself in a frontline situation, which is really difficult. You might find yourself in one of those moments or those seasons in life that feels like you're in a boat being tossed around by every wave. And as soon as one wave has finished pounding you in, another one comes from a different direction and knocks you in another direction until the point where you feel absolutely battered. And some of you know that reality. But the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we are children of God. This is the foundation we stand on. This is our core being. Our identity is in God. And we can stand on that in confidence. As the disciples could look to Jesus, who was in the boat with him, and call to him to steady the boat. Remember, God's in this with us. He knows. Our Father in heaven. It's the opening as well, of course, for a sort of gateway, if you like, to the purpose that he set us about, which comes to that second line, which is praying for our part in the Father's business. Hallowed be your name. We talk about doing things as God's people, don't we? And we talk about doing them in the name of Jesus. Whose name are we on the front line for? Whose work are we about? It's not our front line, it's his. We're the people who stand there, but we are about God's business. We're about being his witnesses, testifying to who he is. So often we struggle if we're asked to define, well, who are you as a church? What sort of things do you do? The thing we should have no problem sharing, the thing that God wants you to share most of all, is who he is in your life. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's the one who loves me whatever I do. He's the one who, whenever I get things wrong, I can go to and he forgives me. And he draws me back. This is the testimony that people want to hear. Who is this God that we come to? So as we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying that the name of God, the name of Jesus, will be lifted up. When we become Christians, we so often act as though we've enlisted God's help to get us through this life. We so often act as though God is there to be our fixer, our sorter of stuff. I'm anxious about this. I feel unwell, or I've got a problem with life or with family. And we think of God as our fixer to sort those things. What we're reminded of as we pray this prayer, hallowed be your name, lifted up be your name, be your purposes. We remind ourselves that what's actually happening is that God, through Jesus, has co-opted us to be about his business. It's not the business of our life, it's the business of his kingdom, and he's invited us to be a part of that. It's his kingdom work. And of course, in the process, we then align ourselves with his cause, with his way of doing things, and we bring glory to his name in all of those frontline situations we find ourselves in. And of course, because it's a family business, it's his family business that we are about, It is a business which embraces everything. It is global. It is taking place in Australia and in South America today. That's God's business. And we all have our part. And your bit is not to worry about what's going on in Australia or New Zealand or the other end of the planet or the other end of the time that a 24-hour day takes up in South America. Instead, we are in our place. It's a business of God's which is redemptive. It's about restoring people and drawing people back and giving them hope. It is a business which is liberating, not constraining. That's what God has invited us to be in. Hallowed be your name, what you are about, Lord. And therefore it includes us, and it includes every one of those daily contexts. That's God's business that he's co-opted us to be engaged in. The next line. Do you realize we are called to pray for regime change? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Change is always challenging, isn't it? We don't like being in uncomfortable situations. Safety, security, comfort, they are very attractive. We like to hold on to them. But followers of Jesus are called to pray for regime change, for the kingdoms of spiritual domains in this world to be transformed into the kingdom of God, so that people operate in this world as they do in heaven, so that kindness and love are part of the transactions of life that we see all around us. This is what we pray for. We pray for your kingdom come. So when you're in your frontline position and you're talking to someone, maybe even a stranger, and they are angry and frustrated about what life has thrown at them, the health service not being what it might be, or the police not serving them quite as they should, or the council not doing what maybe in that situation, we can bring God's kingdom. Are we praying for God's kingdom principles in all those frontline positions that we find ourselves in? Because the kingdom of this world will always clash against the kingdom of God. And when Jesus gave this prayer to his people, at that time, there was a very mighty and barbaric kingdom, the Roman Empire, in control at the time. And the response of the Jewish people seeking to be God's people in that time had all sorts of ways of dealing with it. Some wanted to fight authority. Some wanted to bring the authorities and work with the powers that be, the political powers around them, draw them into their lives. Others believed that they should concentrate themselves on personal piety. Others believed they should disappear and get out of this Roman world and literally went to live in the desert and isolate themselves. But Jesus came and he declared that the kingdom of God has arrived in and through him. And we join in that prayer every day. Lord, in every conversation, wherever I find myself, may your kingdom come and may it start in me. If you've really got courage and humility, ask that God's kingdom starts here in the person who's praying it. Start with me, Lord, acting, behaving, speaking differently, kindly, generously this morning. The next line speaks about our more practical needs of the day. Give us today our daily bread. When we're on our front lines, One of the things that is good to remind us ourselves of is who we are reliant upon. It builds into our prayer life. It builds into our way of thinking. It affirms God is God, the provider, and we are his people. And if we break that trust, and there is always that tendency to go it alone, and I've got this, then we start to leave God out. In our frontline positions, he needs to be given the place that is rightfully his, especially when we feel like we are in control. The next line is all about praying for yesterday's mistakes in particular. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray. Jesus recognized that there would be some things that they would need to deal with routinely, repeatedly. And one of those things is our imperfections. We mess up, don't we? We lose our cool. We say sharp words. We try to justify why we were unkind or said unkind things to other people. Well, they said unkind things to me. We justify them, and barriers build. And Jesus knows that these things are a problem. And so he invites us to pray so that in our frontline positions, we're constantly going to God and saying, Lord, forgive me. I really didn't do that well. I messed up. How many Christians are taken out of effective work for God because they've let God down and they feel they're not good enough? Comes back to us being insignificant again, doesn't it? Being unworthy, self-esteem. And God says, now let me deal with that. Come to me, ask me for forgiveness. And we need to forgive others. How many of our frontline situations are really awkward because relationships are strained? They're not what they should be. This line of this prayer reminds us that to be effective for God, we need to forgive and ask God for forgiveness. Which brings me to the last line. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is about praying for God's protection in the day to come, in what might face us tomorrow. And Jesus seems to think that we shouldn't be too confident about our own ability to keep going as disciples. He seems to think we might just get into trouble if we go it alone, and that we therefore should be quite keen to ask for God's protection against those spiritual forces that seek to trip us up. The enemy's quiet whisper in our word that would say to you, Steve, don't go onto your front line today. You know how you didn't really do very well yesterday. And you know how you said those things the way they could have been said better. No, Steve, just stop. Just don't bother even going there today. And that whispering, undermining is there. Those things that we have done that have got in the way in the past, he'll remind you of those things. Other people will challenge you. Do not go into a frontline position for God thinking that you've got all of this covered, cockily, confidently, thinking in your own strength you can stand against any arguments, any things that people will throw against you. Because the enemy will cause you problems. We need to go in the strength of God, in the protection of God, seeking, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There will be times of testing, and your faith will be challenged, and things will go badly, and you will be at times tempted to quit and walk away. This prayer is here to invite God's protection over us. We don't go into our front lines alone, but with the powerful, protecting, life-giving presence of God. This prayer reminds us of that. Do you know, for all of us, serving God on the front line is not about trying harder. It's about learning to allow the resurrected Jesus to fill us with his power, to be present in his strength, with him at the heart of it, living the lives, embracing all that God places us in. But all of it, understanding that it starts with our identity as children of God. I want to encourage us to think of the words of a prayer that you know really well. But don't just say it by rote just to get through it, to get to the next line and get to the next line. But instead, as you think about this such well-known prayer, think about how we can ask God to help us in the frontline positions we find ourselves in through this amazing prayer. It was given by God. And then use your words to adapt it. Your kingdom come, Lord, as I talk to this person today. We haven't watched our little video this week yet. We're going to do that now. I want to invite you to watch this as we see those same four characters that we've seen for the last 3 weeks. And we see them and maybe use it as they kind of pray their way through the days that they are facing. Maybe we could use this to just reflect ourselves. And then we'll pray and then we'll sing our final hymn together.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is.
To work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
So let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace expressed to us in Jesus Christ. May we increasingly know the breadth and depth of your love for us as your Spirit roots this truth in us through our daily lives. As we are scattered this week, we pray that you will shape us in the likeness of Christ, for we are your handiwork, created to bring you joy and to be your people in the world. Amen.